You're listening to The Big Show with Patrick Duma on the official home of your Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Tkachuk out at the right point covering. 15 seconds in regulation. Tkachuk, Reinhardt near circle. Reinhardt in the circle. Shot, and it's fought off by Anderson. Barkov right circle. Down to the goal line. Tkachuk in front of shot. He scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Tkachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time. The Panthers take a 4-3 lead in the waning seconds.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers are off to their second ever Stanley Cup final after that 4-3 epic victory in a four-game sweep over the Carolina Hurricanes. Welcome to Big Show Hour 4. I'm Patrick Duma. I got Alex Brody along with me. Intern Roz as well. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. And we're joined by that man that called that crazy goal, that Matthew Tkachuk game winner, Doug Plagans, Panthers radio play-by-play for AM560 WQAM down in South Florida. Doug, thank you so much for joining me. How are we this morning?
Doing great. Thanks very much for having me. It's been a heck of a run here, and now just waiting to see who will be the opponent for the Panthers in the Cup Final and when that's going to get started.
Yeah, well, it could be next Thursday or next Wednesday. It could be next Friday. Who knows? We'll find out here, hopefully we'll find out maybe as soon as tomorrow. But describe that feel inside of FLA Live there on Wednesday night there.
It just absolutely erupted, and we had 20,065 on hand. Obviously, it's been sold out throughout the playoffs, and the buzz has been just it's been crazy. And you know what? Really, I think even added to it was the fact, and Paul Maurice was asked about this yesterday, but round one, the Panthers won that series by winning in overtime in Game 7. So when Carter Verhaeghe scored that Game 7 overtime winner in the first round, obviously there was an eruption from the Panthers bench, but they were in a dead silent building that just couldn't believe what it had seen there in Boston. So then in round two, they clinched that series when Nick Cousins scored in overtime in Game 5. That was in a totally silent Scotiabank Arena in Toronto that couldn't believe what it had just seen. So the Panthers' first two series were clinched in overtime on the road, and there was absolutely no fan reaction except, you know, full buildings of people that were, you know, at a loss for words. Then they get to this series here, and they get it done in four, and I think everybody wanted them to get it done in four, not just to get a little bit of rest, but The Panthers were excited to be able to wrap that series up at home. And when Matthew Tkachuk scored that goal that wasn't an overtime goal, but it may as well have been because there wasn't enough time left after the goal for anything to happen for Carolina. The place just absolutely exploded. And it was really cool for the Panthers to be able to enjoy that with the fans who've, again, just been so great throughout this entire run. So yeah, it was 20,000 plus just absolutely erupting.
You obviously had help from your analyst there with Bill Lindsay in game 3 and 4, but you call games on the road solo. So take me back to last week, the four overtime marathon game. You did that all by yourself in Raleigh. How was that for you?
Yeah, and Billy's going to be Billy, a former Flame as well. Yep. He's going to be he'll be with me every step of the way through the Cup Final. But yeah, I did that game game one marathon in Raleigh. I did have the ability to throw it back to the studio during the intermission, so the studio host gave me a little bit of a breather there for 8 to 10 minutes here and there during the intermission. But it was one of those things that, first of all, you start to realize once you get past two overtimes, it gets in your mind where you're like, okay, we're starting to get into a historical realm now with this. Yeah. Anytime you get into a third overtime, you start looking at the lists of longest games in history. And the longest game in Panthers history prior to that was 431 of triple overtime. So they blew past that. Yeah. The longest game I'd ever called was a conference final game in the ECHL in 2010. And that ended 36 seconds into the third overtime. Okay. So it blew past any game that I had ever called previously. And really, when you get into it, when you're calling games for a team and when you work for a team and you're with the team every step of the way, you just get so emotionally invested mm-hmm. in everything that, to be honest with you, at that point, the game could have gone 25 overtimes. And all I'm thinking about is, you know, if we get a win, I'm happy. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter how the Panthers get it done. Get the win. I don't care how long this thing goes, as long as they get the win. Sure enough, they did in the waning seconds of overtime number four. And to be honest, the only non-hockey, non-broadcasting thought that ever crept into my mind the whole time during the whole marathon was during the intermission before the fourth overtime. It dawned on me that I hadn't had a meal in a really long time. I was starting to get, I was starting to get really hungry. And you know, you just kick that aside, you get back to it, you keep grinding. And hey, the way that one ended, it was interesting because Carolina maybe made a couple of defensive miscues. Mm-hmm. Maybe they thought that time was running down and they were going to be able to escape that fourth overtime, get it to another intermission. And the Panthers just didn't need much time. There was enough time on the clock to generate one chance. And sure enough, it was Matthew Tkachuk who was able to cash in. So that was one win, but what a way to set the tempo for a series when you win a game like that on the road. You know, that was a heck of a way to get that first win of the series and no doubt set the tone in the Panthers' favor.
Yeah, the Matthew Tkachuk, three game-winning goals in this series, the one game-winning assist as well. The whole playoffs for him, the Hart finalist as well during a tremendous regular season for him. I love watching players have fun on the ice and when they're playing, and it just looks like he's because he wasn't this type of player in the playoffs for Calgary. He was not the type of like cerebral type clutch type player. He was like, where is Matthew? What's he doing? He didn't score that goal last year against Dallas. It was Johnny Gaudreau, but. You know, what have you seen with Matthew Tkachuk this year? I mean, obviously helps being in sunny South Florida. That's a lot. That's good on the body as well for having the warm weather and all. But what have you seen with Matthew Tkachuk? He just looks like he's having fun. It's like he's like a junior player, a kid out there having fun.
He's having a great time. It's reverberating throughout throughout the whole group. And, you know, just taking it back to the day that he was introduced down yeah. here, I had a chance to do a one-on-one interview with him for our team's website. You know, he and I talked that day on, you know, with the camera on for probably about 10 to 12 minutes. And it was the first time I'd ever met him in person. And I was just blown away at how engaging he was and how excited he was to be there. And he's just, he's been a great guy from the get-go here. You know, we've heard the stories like as soon as he got to town, he took all the trainers out to dinner and everything like that. Paul Maurice has mentioned, but he's been an absolutely amazing teammate and a great leader. And that's the other thing is, you know, you see him on the ice and he's a wrecking ball out mm-hmm. there, and you guys know it. He's right in the middle of everything, but off the ice, he's just an unbelievable guy, just been so good to everybody. And I know everybody just really enjoys having him around. And then you look at the way, you know, just so many different things and so many different ways he's positively impacted this team, whether it's, you know, the production, you see the stats, the numbers don't lie. So there's certainly that. And then what he's been able to do in the playoffs here in these clutch situations, but also just, you know, like I said, what a great teammate he's mm-hmm. been. You know, coming in here and the way that he and Alexander Barkov really complement each other so well as far as the leadership unit. You've got a lot of veterans on this team and guys now who've been together for a couple of yeah. years. You know, I know, you know, referencing the Flames again, the first day I talked to him, he said that, you know, one of the first guys he heard from was Sam Bennett and how excited yeah. he was to be able to see him again and to see what those guys have done playing on a line together for such mm-hmm. a big chunk of the year. They've done a great job for this team, especially here through this playoff run. So again, you could do a multi-hour long expose here on ways that he's positively impacted the Florida Panthers. And I think anybody who's watched these playoffs, you're seeing it front and center. This is just a big time player making big time plays in the biggest games. And what he's done, hey, if he gets another overtime goal in these playoffs, that's an NHL record. He's got yep. three of them so far, even though that, you know, that last one wasn't an overtime goal very well, you know, may as well have been. But yeah, he's got three of them in the playoffs. A fourth one would be something nobody's ever done before.
I'm glad you brought up Sam Bennett. Obviously, he's playing up the lineup of former Flames. And then there's Ryan Lomberg. He got his first goal of the postseason there in game four. These are the players you win Stanley Cups with. Like, talk about how Ryan Lomberg's been. He was a player I loved watching here when he was in Flames camp way back in 2016. Just talk about Ryan Lomberg and what he has meant to that fourth line, because those are the types of guys you have to win with this time of year.
Well, there's a few things there, and again, just a guy that I've really enjoyed getting to know. Always. He's one of those guys just every day at the rink, great attitude, great energy about mm-hmm. him. And I think that's the biggest thing. Once the puck drops, the energy that he brings. And I've called him efficient and economical, because no matter how much ice time he gets, and he's earned, a big increase in his ice time, but he's going to let the opponent know he's on the ice one way or another,
yeah.
Whether it's, making a hard play on the forecheck. He's got deceptive speed. I think it's flown under the radar, and we've seen him turnstile some defensemen because I don't think people expect the wheels that he's got. But north, south, in a straight line, he can fly. And he's able to make great plays on the forecheck, and he's a big reason why this Panthers team's developed into one of the best forechecking teams in the league. And the thing with Ryan Lomberg, and you guys know this, when you can skate like that, when you can mm-hmm. skate like the wind, it's a real luxury for a team, because you can play on the bottom six. You can play in the top six.
Yeah.
If the Panthers run into a spot where they have throughout this season, where they've had some key guys in and out of the lineup, you can slot Ryan Lomberg in there in a top six role, because he can keep up with anybody out there. And he's got a good nose for the net. And you've seen the numbers he's produced at other levels. He mm-hmm. He's got some hands on him. He mm-hmm. can score. So he can contribute in a lot of different ways. His teammates love him. And again, this season too, Paul Maurice has mentioned he's been able to play with Eric Staal quite a bit.
Yep.
And he's been able to absorb a lot and learn a lot from a veteran guy like Eric in terms of that forechecking game, and playing together has certainly been something that's benefited Ryan Lomberg. But yeah, he's a key part of what this Panthers team does. And I think the biggest thing you notice is just the energy when he gets on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100 miles an hour the entire shift, and you got to love a guy like that.
Oh, it's infectious with those guys. It goes up and down the lineup. They see that, they want to shell out too. We're talking with Doug Plagans, Panthers radio play-by-play for AM 560 WQAM down in South Florida. The Hurricanes gave it their all and probably came about as close as you can get in a sweep. Sergei Bobrovsky, he was great in those four. He's been great since he came into the postseason. What have you seen in the flip from the regular season to the postseason, as you've seen Bobrovsky get back to his old Vezina form we saw back in Columbus?
Well, you look at Sergei Bobrovsky's full season, and there was a stretch there. He played a ton of hockey, probably around the All-Star break and after the All-Star break. I don't have the dates right in front of him. Played a ton of hockey around then, and then he was sidelined by a non-COVID illness. And so to look at it from I believe it was March 27th, that was his last start. It was in Ottawa up until he came back into the Boston series, which would have been around April 21st
yeah.
or so. You're looking at nearly, 4 weeks, not too much short of a month there where he was sidelined. And part of that was he was out with the non-COVID illness. And then during that time, really because he was the option, Alex Lyon, a veteran guy, we're not talking about Alex Lyon, a 21-year-old rookie. We're talking about a seasoned pro who's won a Calder Cup, who's 30 years old, who's seen, a share of NHL games. Mm-hmm. He caught fire and the Panthers started rolling, and they just kind of stuck with the hot hand there and Alex Lyon down the stretch. And big reason the Panthers were able to get in the playoffs was the play of Alex Lyon and what he was able to do when the Panthers needed him there late in the season. And then, the Panthers made the switch over to Sergei Bobrovsky during round one. And since then, he's been absolutely outstanding. I mean, the historical context you're hearing people put it into, it's similar to what, J.S. Chiguer did back in 2003,
yeah.
What he's doing now. So he's been just so in command of the position. And the thing with Sergei Bobrovsky, and his teammates are talking about it a lot, and his work ethic and his dedication, and I can speak to it too, even seeing him on non-game days, being able to be around the team on practice days, mm-hmm. things like that, the way he is just so detail-oriented, the way he goes about his craft and prepares and everything like that, You know, he's just there's nobody more dedicated than he is. And the way that he's been able to play here, you see just such a command of the position. And I think the thing that's really stood out to me the most, and I remember referencing it during that marathon overtime game one of the Eastern Conference Final. It wasn't just the saves he was making, but it was how calm he appeared while he was making what looked like it was a highlight reel save. And then you look back at the replay and you're like, wow, Sergei barely had to move for that because he had himself positioned so well. And he's just been so in command of the position. And I think that also is reverberating throughout the entire team. When you look back and your goalie is making highlight reel saves and he's making them look easy, you think, okay, you know, everybody takes a, you know, can breathe a sigh of relief on a, you know, when a scoring chance gets allowed and Sergei Bobrovsky makes an outstanding save and everybody gets back to business. And like you said, it's what Matthew Tkachuk has been able to do and what Barkov's been able to do and the big guns, that's reverberated throughout the entire team. But the calmness that Sergei Bobrovsky's had in these playoffs, there's no doubt that's reverberated throughout the entire team as well. He's meant so much.
Bobrovsky, Tkachuk, Barkov, they'll get the credit if the Florida Panthers ultimately win the Stanley Cup. But then Alex Lyon, the backup, what was his run there at the end of the season? Like, when it's all said and done, how much of that Stanley Cup is on Alex Lyon for how he played at the end of the season to get them into the postseason?
Well, he's meant so much to this team. And I, you know, getting back, you know, if we were to rewind the clock, you know, back 6 weeks or so, I remember having conversations with people, you know, whether it was on our team podcast or the weekly Panthers Insider show that I do down here and things like that, and talking to a lot of the local people about how, you know, regardless, and this was, you know, in the early stages of April, and the Panthers were on their way to locking down that playoff spot by 1 point over Pittsburgh there down the stretch. But I remember mentioning it to a lot of people that regardless of what happened from that point forward, the Alex Lyon late season run of 2023 is going to mean something to sports fans down here. It was something that a lot of people just latched on to because, you know, here was a guy that, all season long, when the Panthers needed him, and late in the year when he went through a stretch where he wasn't playing a lot. He was backing up Sergei Bobrovsky, and you know, he was, you know, you weren't really seeing too much of him during games. But he was a great teammate. Everything you'd want out of a backup goalie. He just knew the role. He was there, staying late. He was, you know, so guys could get shots. He was doing anything that could have been asked. He was a great teammate, and that's what you want out of a backup goalie. But like I said, this is a guy who's not a, you know, we're not talking about a 21-year-old rookie. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a 30-year-old and, you know, Yale guy, really smart guy.
Yep.
You know, but we're talking about a 30-year-old pro who's played big games in his pro career, was on a Calder Cup winner last year with the Chicago Wolves in the AHL. And he's calm, and he would, you know, he would go out there when needed, and he would handle the position well, and guys wanted to battle for him because he was a great teammate. And when his number got called and he was the option, he just, he showed the Panthers that, you know, they were, he gave the team, he showed the team they could be confident with him behind them. And he played a great last bit of the regular season there. But I think a big thing too, the Panthers had one of their, if you were to look back at this season, one of their most inspired wins that they had in the regular season was the last game before the All-Star break, and it was an overtime win over the Boston Bruins. Alexander Barkov tied the game in the final seconds. They won it in overtime. Panthers were one of two teams in the league that beat Boston twice during the regular season, the other one being Ottawa. So I guess you needed a Tkachuk on your roster to beat the Bruins twice during the regular season, but... Alex Lyon was in net for that win over Boston right before the All-Star break. And I think that one just meant that particular win, that wasn't your average 2 points in January. That was a big turning point type of win for the team. Alex was in net for that one. And I think when it gave him a ton of confidence. And then when he was reinserted into the lineup in the late stages of the regular season, that was something they were able to draw back on, something they were to build on. And he went 6-1-1 there down the stretch, helped the Panthers get into the playoffs by a point, started the playoffs. He was the winning goaltender in game two against the Boston Bruins back in round one. So he was instrumental in this whole thing, no doubt about it. And, you know, now with Sergei Bobrovsky, running with it and playing at a Conn Smythe type of level right now for the Panthers. Alex Lyon's still there doing the work every single day, and just being a great teammate, and he's just a great guy to have around and a great guy to chat with throughout this run.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad that the Panther fans share the same sentiment for Alex Lyon as I do. I just want to give that guy some credit there, because what he did at the end was massive. Couple more for you, Doug. Long playoff runs and Stanley Cups can do wonders for a fan base, especially ones in the Sun Belt, in the southern United States. Tampa Bay experienced that back in 2004. What do you think this run has done for hockey overall in South Florida, as obviously it's not been the easiest journey to get to this point?
Well, you look at, this is four straight years of postseason hockey here, and that's important in terms of building things. And obviously with the regular season they had last year, winning the President's Trophy, winning a round in the playoffs, all that experience meant a lot for the players, but it also meant a lot for the fan base to be able to experience things like that. And the buzz has been growing steadily over the years, but as you know, nothing like a playoff run like this to really just take that buzz to a different level. You go anywhere around here now, you see Panthers gear, you hear people talking about the Panthers. It's been huge, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of. And it's also just a great place to be a sports fan right now. And people are taking it all in because of what the Miami Heat have been able to do on their run, as an eighth seed in the NBA playoffs, that had to win the play-in to be able to get into that first round series against the Milwaukee Bucks. So people realize that what they're seeing out of both teams down here right now in their playoff runs is really special. People want to be a part of it. And I can tell you just the atmospheres that we saw, not just here in these playoffs, they've been otherworldly here in the playoffs, but this whole regular season and going back the last few seasons with Bill Zito here and the players that have been put in place, and especially this year, Matthew Tkachuk has really captivated the fan base. There are Tkachuk jerseys all over town, and people have been able to also over the years, they've been able to get familiar with Barkov and with Ekblad, guys who've been cornerstones here for a long time. That goes a long way for a fan base as well. And people are really excited about this group. I know I'm excited about them. And like I said, you go anywhere around town now and there are people talking up this Panthers team, and it's been really cool to see. And the other great thing about it is they're really just scratching the surface and what they're going to be able to accomplish. A lot of these key guys are locked in for multiple years. Barkov and Tkachuk are locked in for a long time. This is a team that's going to be a factor, a power in the Eastern Conference for a number of years to come.
The fans have obviously picked up on the rats, throwing the rubber rats on the ice. Does this current fan base have much of a connection with the 96 group that went to the Cup final? I know Bill Lindsay obviously works side by side with you. He was on that team. But are the 96 Panthers around the building? Do they show up? Do the fans have much of a connection with that group? Or is this a new Panther era of hockey?
I think you have your new fans transitioning in, but you do have, and I talk to them all the time. Mm-hmm. You still do talk to a lot of people who were, day one season ticket holders.
Back in downtown Miami.
And people, exactly, at Miami Arena back in the day, people who've been around the team since back in those early days. And I got to credit the new fans too, and the younger fans who really have, it seems like, embraced and acknowledged what that early team meant. Because again, that wasn't just a team that had success on the ice, but that was a team that introduced this market to NHL hockey.
First in Florida.
And it was a team full of, lunch pail guys and guys that worked hard. And, you mentioned Billy, who's, I can tell you, his passion for this franchise runs so deep. And this cup, this Stanley Cup playoff run has meant so much to him. And to be able to call these Cup final games coming up here, side by side with him is going to be an unbelievable thrill. And to see, to see him be able to go through this experience, I can't wait to get into these Cup final games. But Ed Jovanovsky does work for Bally Sports Florida down here on the TV side, and I know it. The history of the franchise means a lot to him. Mm-hmm. Anytime you mention the names like Scott Mellenby and Stu Barnes, and the names
John Van Beesbrook,
John Van Beesbrook, guys who were a part of this. back in the early days, it even for people who weren't born in 1996, those names mean something, and that team means something, and the tradition of the Rat means something, and it's something that's never going to go away. I'm glad it's going to be a part of Panthers history for forever. And that 96 team, like I said, it wasn't just a team that went on a great run to a Stanley Cup final, but they were a team that really laid the groundwork for everything that was to come afterward. And I'm glad that, you know, they continue to get acknowledged, because it was a really fun team growing up a hockey fan. I remember catching on to that. I still vividly remember the images of Tom Barrasso hiding in his net because thousands of rats were being thrown onto the ice during that Eastern Conference final. Yeah. It's a very unique element to this franchise's history.
No, it's awesome. It's been awesome all postseason, and I can't wait to watch and listen to you guys for this Stanley Cup final. All the best, Doug, whether it's Dallas, whether it's a trip to Vegas. Have fun, and we'll do this again soon.
You got it. Thank you very much for having me, and we'll talk again soon.
For sure. There you go. It's Doug Plagans, Florida Panthers radio play-by-play on AM 560 WQAM. They're getting ready down in South Beach there, South Florida, Sunrise. We'll see if the Miami Heat can join them in an NBA final there to get to the final thing, win game six. But yeah, good for the Florida Panthers. They're off to their second ever Stanley Cup final. That series will either get underway on May 31st, which is next Wednesday, or June 2nd, which is next Friday. And of course, Doug joined us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline using that same secret recipe since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Takeout or delivery at 403-248-3344. Around the corner, we'll replay our conversation with Caleb Joseph. He gave Maddie some swing tips for slow pitch. And what are we doing with Alek Manoah? Not great. He's not good. Not right now. What are you going to do with him? Can't send him down to AAA. What are you going to have to do here? You could, but what are you bringing up? Caleb Joseph, around the corner here on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.